I'm Bobby Finger.
And I'm Lindsay Weber. Our podcast, Who Weekly, is everything you need to know about the celebrities you don't. Think of us as your cheat code to People Magazine, your glossary for Hollywood, a shortcut to understanding pop culture at large.
For the past 8 years, Who Weekly has been telling listeners everything they need to know about the celebrities they don't.
Who Weekly airs twice weekly with brand new episodes on Tuesdays and Fridays. Listen and follow Who Weekly, an Odyssey podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
The Men's Room presents Profile This.
Yeah, Stephen Throhill, could you please tell everyone how Profile This is played?
I'm sure, Gann Miles. It's a simple game where we share with you a real life news story, something that happened right here on planet Earth.
Earth.
And as you listen to the story, based on the stereotypes you believe to be true of people and the decisions that people make, we'll ask you what it is you think makes the story a story. Hello, Will. Welcome to the Men's Room.
Hola,
Picholas. Hola. All right, Will, you understand how this here game is played?
Yes, sir.
Fantastic. You have your choice of one of three stories. Today, we offer you the wonderful world of drugs. We have Bite Me. In other words, what did someone find in their food? And finally today, interior decorating, where you guess the foreign object that ended up on the inside of someone.
All right, let's do drugs.
On April 18th, Turkish authorities conducted an operation to burn over 20 tons of confiscated drugs in a town named Lice, which caused the air in the settlement to become thick with drug smoke. And for at least 5 days, people could not leave their windows open and avoided going out for fear of becoming intoxicated and experiencing the symptoms of getting stoned on this particular drug. And some of the symptoms, they say, included dizziness, nausea, and hallucinations. Now, a local man complained, quote, "The smell of drugs has been enveloping the district for days. We cannot open our windows. Our children got sick. We're constantly going to the hospital." Well, the chairman of the town, he said that although the success achieved by authorities in the fight against drugs is important, the manner in which the drugs were destroyed was incorrect. He emphasized that arranging the bags of drugs to form the name of the town, again, Lice, and burning letters only added insult to injury. So the authorities took the time to take all the drugs they confiscated, form the word Lice, which again is the name of the town, and then light it on fire.
Okay.
They say this was perhaps done as a preventative measure to deter, but the fact is it was destroyed in the city center and could cause serious discomfort to people due to the smoke. He went on to tell reporters that, adding that his association recommends that police dispose of drugs in factories with filtered chimneys. He continued, quote, "As you know, the burning of such drugs can also cause serious intoxication, just as tobacco harms passive smokers when used in a closed area. The smoke released by such narcotic substances, when disposed of, can cause serious discomfort to people on the other side." So now the question is, what did these geniuses burn in the city center? 20 tons of the drug. Was it methamphetamine? Was it crack? Was it weed? Or was it heroin? So meth, crack, weed, or heroin, what do these guys burn in the city center and get everyone high?
You know, you gotta think, like, weed wouldn't necessarily do that.
All right, Will, then I'm taking weed.
What country?
It was in the country of Turkey, and the name of the city is Lice.
I mean, if people could feel the effects of it, I feel like that has to be weed.
You want weed?
I'm going weed.
Okay.
You know,
Will, what do you think?
I gotta go heroin on this one.
Okay, they're on. What time were they burning there? Was it meth, crack, weed, or heroin? We'll find out next.
Oh, come on.
Computer.
That was a tease.
You are listening to The Men's Room.
I'm Bobby Finger.
And I'm Lindsay Weber. Our podcast, Who Weekly, is everything you need to know about the celebrities you don't. Think of us as your cheat code to People Magazine, your glossary for Hollywood, a shortcut to understanding pop culture at large.
For the past 8 years, Who Weekly has been telling listeners everything they need to know about the celebrities they don't.
Who Weekly airs twice weekly with brand new episodes on Tuesdays and Fridays. Listen and follow Who Weekly, an Odyssey podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Categories drugs on Profile This. Turkish authorities, they're burning some drugs. Told the public for 5 days to stay inside, not open the windows. Do not go out. You might get high.
Oh, yeah.
Question is, what drugs were they burning? Meth, crack, weed, or heroin?
And, Will, that is the question that we posed to you, but let us start with you. You went with heroin. It was not heroin, which, you know, is probably a good thing. D. Ted Smith, Miles Montgomery, you guys agreed and said weed.
Weed.
Right? The old standby.
And it was weed.
Okay. Yeah.
20 tons of weed. Spelled out the town name, lit it on fire. Again, city center. And then everyone got stoned.
Correct, because weed smoke can actually do that.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
I'm not positive the other ones work that way.
I know. I'm going to keep trying, though.
Yeah.
Good old meth buzz.
Oh, yeah.
Now for all TV news all time, time for TV Time with Ted.
And now, because your pathetic life is confined to countless hours in front of a talking box, the Men's Room presents TV Time with Ted.
All right, your choices today, you got Stephen Colbert, Seth Meyers, the Jimmys, or Ted Smith.
Is it Ted or is it late night?
It's right there, the title. These guys have teams and sounds. The writer himself will come up with their monologues each and every night. It is up to you to determine, is this an actual late night joke and from whom, or could it be a The Ted Smith original?
An estimated 12,000 baby chickens were abandoned in Delaware for 2 or 3 days, which led to the death of many of the chickens. But thousands of them did survive. In related news, Taco Bell's brought back their crispy chicken nuggets.
The Ted Smith.
Yes.
Yeah.
Apparently they're great.
You're not wrong.
They are shockingly crispy and good.
People love them.
Yeah, and they're it's not, Taco Bell.
Yeah, they're not real high on the new chicken strips from McDonald's, but they're talking about the Taco Bell nuggets.
Yeah. I just put in Taco Bell because Myers is always making fun of them. According to a new interview in The Hollywood Reporter, Tom Cruise plans on making movies into his hundreds. I hope he never stops, because I, for one, am looking forward to Mission Impossible and Continent.
Colbert.
According to a new interview in The Hollywood Reporter, Tom Cruise intends to keep making movies into his hundreds. Fantastic. I hope he never stops, because I, for one, am looking forward to seeing Mission Incontinent.
Bless you. New York City is preparing for a big weekend. It's the start of Fleet Week, and there's a Knicks playoff game at Madison Square Garden. And thank God it's Fleet Week, because if the Knicks win, the city's going to need all the military help it can get.
Seth.
Fallon.
What a time it is to be in New York City. I mean, it's the start of Fleet Week, and there's a Knicks playoff game at Madison Square Garden. And thank God it's Fleet Week, because if the Knicks win, we'll need all the military help we can get.
Registration is open for a clothing optional 5K race in South Carolina. Sounds fun. Running naked with everything flapping in the breeze. It's a sight to behold and be here.
Colbert.
Fallon?
Colbert.
Registration is now open for a clothing optional 5K race in South Carolina. Oh, that sounds fun. Running naked with everything flapping in the breeze. It'll be a sight to behold and to be here.
I gotta see if that's in Charleston. Man, I'm gonna call my niece. Be like, you working that 5K race?
Take pictures.
So sad news. George Wendt has passed away. If you don't know who George Wendt's name is offhand, he was Norm on Cheers.
Yep.
That's what he was most known for. He was 76. No word of on the cause of death, but his family said he died peacefully to sleep while at home. Let's see. He played Norm for all 11 seasons on Cheer from 82 to 93. You know what? They have a good little mashup here of just... So first of all, it's kind of cool when he would walk in, everybody would yell his name.
Norm.
But I forgot all the little one-liners he had before he'd sit down for a beer.
Afternoon, everybody.
Norm!
How you doing, Norm? What do you know?
Not enough. Afternoon, everybody.
Hey, yeah, Norm.
Better give me a tall one in case I like it.
Afternoon, everybody.
Hey, Norm.
How's life treating you, Norm?
I got just ran over its dog.
What's up, Norm?
My nipples. It's freezing out there.
What can I do for you, Norm?
Well, I am going to need something to kill time before my second beer. How about a first one?
You got it.
Now, I read years ago that back in the day, they had like these weird rules on what you could drink on TV.
All right.
So the and they I guess maybe NA beers weren't a big deal.
Mm-hmm.
So the beer, it was like this concoction they made, and they were like, "Oh, it was awful."
Oh, really?
But they had to him and what's his name?
Cliff.
They had to drink it all the time because if you ever saw the show, I mean, that's what they did. They sat at the end. I was telling Mike the other day. I said, "Cheers," you know, it ends in 93. So I watched it with my parents. I obviously didn't get all the jokes or whatever.
Sure.
Norm was always funny, right? Like, those two guys were the best. But then, have you guys watched it? Do you think it stands up?
I have not seen it. I thought it was a fantastic show when it was on. I get the feeling it would look very dated, but I think the jokes, I think the writing would stand up.
Right. Like,
they weren't super topical about what's going on in the world at this moment. It was... All the situations just revolved around those characters dealing with whatever.
Right, because like me and MCTP from the podcast, brand new episode out today, we were watching a couple old Seinfelds like late at night, and we were still dying laughing.
Yeah.
But I don't think Friends holds up. When I watch that, I go, this is boring.
I'd agree with that.
So it's always like,
yeah, I don't know.
It was just one of those ones. I was like, Mike, like it's funny. I don't know that I'd recommend you gotta watch it. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, I love Lucy. Just never did anything for me. It's because it just looks so dated. Let's see. George Wendt also talked about people getting him free beers and stuff. He was nominated for 6 Emmys.
did he ever win one?
No, because I would have told you.
He had
nominated for 6, won one.
Right. Yeah, correct. He had TV appearances in MASH, Seinfeld, The Simpsons, Hot in Cleveland, Fresh Off the Boat. Fletch, I kind of forgot. He was the main drug dealer on the beach in Fletch,
yep.
Which was a good one. Let's see. But, you know, he was still working in 2023. He was on The Masked Singer. He reunited with the Cheers cast to present an Emmy. And then I just found this out yesterday. Jason Sudeikis' uncle.
Yeah, I did not know that either.
Yeah. Sudeikis' mom is George's sister. I do like, though, he talked about just the fact wherever he went, people would always send him a beer or a round of beers for his friends, which
That's
is pretty
great.
Cool. And obviously, everybody that worked on the show, you know, had good things to say about him. So it seemed like all around, like a good dude. Everybody seemed to like him. So that's a sad story. I'm with you, though. At some point in his life, he had to be out sometimes where he was like, I don't want the beer.
I just, look, man, I appreciate it. I just can't do it. Because the other three places I went today, people have been buying me beer. I just don't want another one.
Not only would, you know, I mean, I'm just thinking about, you know, like our bar. Like, if he had walked in there, obviously we'd buy him a beer.
Yep.
But I would say also, like, I would just, if I had one of those prime locations, every bar has prime location on that elbow,
mm-hmm.
I would get up and be like, take my seat.
I don't know if I would at that bar.
Really?
Yeah, look, man, sorry.
Your seat.
When I get the elbow, I'm happy to be there. And you realize there's kind of like the pecking order there, right? Someone will be sitting in the elbow seat. You get there, and everyone just kind of looks at it. But when they get up to leave, they'll walk down to get you.
Correct.
Like, hey, man, if you and your wife want to move up here, we're leaving like good looking out.
That's why I like to go on my days off and get in there early.
Throw everyone off.
Yeah, take that, old timer.
Because I can't really say anything, but you can tell, like, God, they sit in my seat.
Let's see. So last night, after we taped the podcast, I decided to watch this new show on Netflix about Brett Favre, right? So Netflix has their series Untold,
right?
So they did the Swamp Kings. They've done a few of them. They did Johnny Manziel was one of their first ones.
Oh, yeah.
So got to be careful. Lord knows Brett Favre likes to sue people. First of all, in my opinion, those are usually pretty nice kind of fluff pieces.
Yeah.
I thought Urban Meyer came off looking amazing for what happened at his tenure at Florida. Johnny Manziel, like, look, I like
that one.
I like Johnny Manziel, but right, they painted him in a better picture. So obviously Brett Favre did not participate in this. So they had to go the other route and kind of just, you know, and look, they give him his credit. He was an amazing football player and this and that, right? But you get towards that end of the career and things start going bad, right? You have the Jen Seeger stuff.
Yeah.
Right? And I know, you know, I kind of forget because I'm sure I was part of it too, right? Like, she was a hot chick that got famous on TV when Brett Musburger panned to her and her friend.
Yeah.
She's wearing a bikini top in the front row. And he just said, you know, 15,000 young men just applied to Florida State. So she gets super famous. And like, she's like, look, I played it up. Like, I did. She kind of did the reverse order, right? she did like Playboy first and then Maxim and all this stuff. But I think people need to understand too, at that time, that wasn't that crazy. And a lot of women were doing it, trying to get into sports stuff. And she had a show, but then she gets to the Jets and they're like, hey, we don't really know what we want. We just want to hire you. You do in-game stuff, right?
Right.
And then she starts getting these texts. Somebody's like, do you want Brett Favre's number? She's like, no. Somehow she says he got it. And then started sending messages and D-pics and this and that. So then they cut to some of the guys that followed him for years in Green Bay. And they're just like, if you're being truthful and you followed the Green Bay Packers on the road, like, this isn't shocking to you.
Okay.
And then, you know, the stuff with all the tax stuff had taken, you know, when he's in Louisiana and taking the funneling that money or whatever, allegedly, and all this stuff. Like, I like a couple of the reporters and some of the people in Louisiana, some of the politicians are like, look, he was Louisiana. You know, if you're good at football in the South, people need to understand you're like a god.
Absolutely.
And when you're in Green Bay and you're the quarterback, you're like a god. So I think sometimes you just get used to getting away with stuff.
Absolutely.
And everything. I don't think he gave it two thoughts, but that stuff in Louisiana, I mean, there's text messages saying, am I going to get in trouble for it? So you know you're doing bad. Right. And, like, he gets so mad and angry at people. And, like, this guy was saying, like, look, you did it. Right. You know what I mean? Like, I'm looking at the text. He's like, look, it doesn't take away from what you did, but, like, we didn't force you to do this stuff. And then, yeah, I read today he had a quote that said Netflix is trying to smear him because he's a Trump supporter. And I would say, listen.
Hey, no, it's because of the stuff
nothing,
you did.
Nothing has anything to do with that. I watched it last night. Trump did not come up in that one time. It has nothing to do with that. People are just saying this is the story.
That's what you did.
Correct. And for that Sanger girl, like, you know, like, I don't blame her. She's like, look, I lost my whole career because, like, she would go on stuff and everyone's just like, well, you've been in Playboy, so you must be a whore.
Right.
And yeah, you know, and it's just like, look, she never got any of that career back, you know? She wanted to work in sports and this and that. So, good watch, though. And also, you know, hell, I forget. He was a hell of a football player.
He was.
You know, and I also think in this day and age, I want to say this. People beating on wives or raping people, that's a different thing, right? He did bad stuff. But also, like, at some point, we know too much about athletes.
Yes.
So, like, to me, I could kind of separate it. I could still respect the hell of what that man could do on a football field. And also know, I might not like him.
Yeah.
You know, you got to have a little separation. You got some playoffs, hockey, one more hockey game tonight, and you got another basketball game on that.
Thank you, Tim. We appreciate it. You're listening to The Men's Room.
Now, it's time to hit the head. Lines. Here's Mike Hawk.
And a top story, we're going to Chicago, where a local publication has a little explaining to do. The Chicago Sun recently published an issue where they included a list of recommendations for summer readers this year. The list of books for readers to consider is a modest one, offering their opinion on 15 books for them to check out. But it didn't take long for people to realize that the summer reading list was AI-generated. Now, this wasn't because the synopsis had any errors or any significant incorrect interpretations of the stories, but because of the 15 books listed, only 5 are actually real.
And that's Chicago.
The reading list rattled off 10 stories that don't exist at all. And what's more is this post came from some sort of prep service as the Philadelphia Inquirer ran an issue with the same reading list.
Same reading list. Okay.
And I get it. It's somebody that's throwing the thing together. They go with the prep service so that they can, you know, add a little bit more meat to their paper there.
Let's see if we can get this one to go through.
Right. But it's just... Whoever makes it, like, that's what I put it on. It's
not the prep service itself.
Correct. It's not the paper. It's not the Chicago Sun. It's not the Philadelphia Inquirer. It's the one that's making the doggone flyer that says, hey, read these books this summer.
I wonder if any of the books sounded good, though.
I'm sure they did. And they used real authors.
Oh, really?
So I wonder if the author looks at that like,
I did not write this.
That's a pretty good book that I could write, right?
Yeah, they might as well.
Right? Now that it's a teaser that's out there, I figured that could be a good publicity thing. Like, just, I'm going to make the book that I never actually wrote.
That is a good plot idea.
In other news, to the UK, where a couple tried to skirt the rules. They'd been given permission from whatever authority to build a 2-story commercial building with the intent that it became a stallion semen collection center and laboratory.
Yeah, baby.
Including a small first floor flat for any staff that would have been on the premises.
Their slogan, we do it all by hand.
Wiles. Putting 1 million British pounds to work, they erected the building on their 17 acres of land that they had already had purchased a while back. But an inspector was tipped off by a jealous neighbor, is the hunch of the couple, that the design of the building was going away what was previously agreed upon. After the home was built, it was discovered that the couple just straight up built a beautiful two-story home instead of the business that they had gotten the green light for. In this part of the world, that constitutes a violation of the rules and have been issued an order to tear down the building.
Damn.
They're currently in the process of appealing the ruling. So they own the land, needed to get permission to build on it. My guess is that it was easier to get permission to make a semen collection facility than it was to build a home.
Yeah, that's true anywhere.
Yeah.
And they just made the home on there. They went, wait a minute.
Are they sure it's a jealous neighbor?
No, but they believe it is.
I mean, I hear you, but like you're arguing. And look, maybe it's true, but they'd rather live next to a semen collection place than a home.
Right.
I mean, just like, as far as neighbors go, like, oh, I thought for sure you're going to be collecting bull semen. You're just telling me it's going to be normal people moving there? I can't have that. I mean, maybe it's just me. I'd prefer human neighbors
right.
than, you know,
I'd rather just them living there than
bull semen distillery or whatever.
Happy horses walking yeah. through there. Yeah. And they said that, the inspector is the one that ultimately made the decision there, which means that he was looking at the building and he could tell that, oh, this is a house.
Yeah, well, I don't know what a bull semen collection building looks like, but I do recognize a house. And maybe they look very similar. I don't know.
Do they collect it there, or they just house the semen
there? No, they collect it there.
Ooh, that's got to be a big place.
They do it all, Ted.
You're going to run the horses on in there and fill up the beakers.
What if you ever get just that strange dude that comes by, like, oh, can I volunteer?
Not qualified, but I just want to give it a go.
You guys checking applications? You got those giant plastic gloves that go up to your shoulder?
And also, do you have mouthwash?
Oh, no. I mean, I feel like if a dude showed up, knocked on the door of a bull semen collection agency and said, I just want to volunteer, just call the cops.
Yeah, right.
No,
he's
man.
He's on the we see it coming list.
Yeah.
No pun intended.
Nah. To Durango, Colorado, where this shouldn't be happening as often as it is. But back in October, local police informed the public that they had taken part in an unusual chase during the day, attempting to capture an escaped kangaroo.
What is it with kangaroos?
I don't know what it is, man. But luckily, they were able to subdue the animal and get him returned to his owner, which brings us to today. You guessed it, Irwin the doggone kangaroo found himself on the wrong side of the law once again, and he needed to be wrangled by authorities. Body cam footage was uploaded online of the officers capturing the roo and putting him in the back of the squad car.
What's the technique of capturing a roo, right? You know, if it's a horse, you get your cowboys, they can wrangle the thing, whatever. But, like, the kangaroo, what's the...
Luckily, Irvin's not very big, so they were kind of able to corner him.
Okay.
And that's... Plus, he's used to human interaction because he has owners. Like, he is a pet. He's not, like, on a farm or anything like that. So, I suppose
that makes him... loves being there.
Right? I suppose it makes it a little bit easier. I don't know.
I guess.
Putting him in the back of a doggone squad car. They didn't endure anything.
Duck your head.
But just in case those stories have the bad taste in your mouth.
Thankfully, there's good news.
Talk about the strength of will. A woman in New York finished her day at work in spite of an urgent signal from her body. We toasted her earlier today. She works as a news anchor for the local CBS affiliate. And after a little after 4 in the morning, she and her co-anchor went live on the air with some breaking news that her water had just broken before the broadcast. She's been carrying her first child for several months, and the baby was actually due two days earlier for his arrival at the time of the broadcast. She informed viewers that in spite of the development, she'd finish the day, or for as long as she was able to, and finish the day she did.
Yes, she did.
We don't have any further updates, but it's actually the second of the affiliate's summer baby boom, as another anchor welcomed their first child over the weekend.
Wow. Those anchors like to get it on.
These two synced up, man. It's wild. Right here at home, we go to South King County, where a house fire was avoided thanks to an unlikely hero. A local homeowner was having himself quite the nap when he was rudely interrupted when his pet continued to jump onto his face. His bearded dragon named Spike. Spike continued...
Like I said, she was.
Just like the 70s.
Spike continued his assault of the man's face until he was brought back to consciousness to find his smoke alarms blaring and his bathroom on fire. Luckily, it was early enough in the fire that he was able to put it out without being spread to other parts of the house. South King County Fire took the opportunity to post the dragon up on their social media pages and give him an honorary badge and helmet for his heroics.
I like how people say, man.
He saved dude's life.
He did, man.
He did, but it's like Sully landing the plane. That bearded dragon's like, you have opposable thumbs and can open the door.
Bro,
the house is on fire. I don't care if you burn to death. Let my ass out.
I don't want to die.
Oh, I'm a hero? Cool.
Men's room sports. The Mariners lost a close one last night against the White Sox to tie the series at 1 with a rubber match taking place earlier this afternoon, which turned out to be a pretty fun back-and-forth fight, wrapping up with the Mariners getting the win of the game and the series. They're on the road as we speak, bound for Houston as they start a four-game series weekend against the Astros. As far as what you're going to watch tonight, you got more baseball on MLB, conference final basketball on TNT, and conference final hockey over on ESPN. As far as your weather, we got clouds bringing temperatures down to about 48 tonight, and that'll stick around until the morning. And then they're predicting a nice sunny day with temperatures reaching the high 60s, baby. That's it for your headlines with that, Mike Hawkins.
See you next time for the head chef, Ted's Meat and Potatoes, in a game known as Big Dummy.
Yes, indeed, it's all true, but in the meantime, well, we be all about this bitch. So until tomorrow, please do what you do best. And for Aletha's sake, stay beautiful.
The men's room has been taped before a live studio audience. Wardrobe and makeup provided by Mantastic Limited. This has been a presentation of the Men's Room Radio Network.
Oh, man.
A Double Flush production.
I'm Bobby Finger.
And I'm Lindsay Weber. Our podcast, Who Weekly, is everything you need to know about the celebrities you don't. Think of us as your cheat code to People Magazine, your glossary for Hollywood, a shortcut to understanding pop culture at large.
For the past 8 years, Who Weekly has been telling listeners everything they need to know about the celebrities they don't.
Who Weekly airs twice weekly with brand new episodes on Tuesdays and Fridays. Listen and follow Who Weekly, an Odyssey podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.